Text for this morning is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 25 and select verses thereafter. A certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.'" So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, at one point in John the Baptist's early ministry, there showed up on the scene one day Sadducees and Pharisees, the traditional enemies of Jesus, even before John the Baptist had baptized Jesus. John called them, when he saw them, "brood of vipers," warning them not to think of themselves as Abraham's children. And then he went and said, "God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." Today we find another religious establishment figure. There it was, the Sadducees and Pharisees. Today it's a lawyer, specifically a expert in the Mosaic law, who we find testing Jesus. "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" he says to Jesus. "What does the law say?" "Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This do, and you shall live," Jesus replied. Jesus tells the lawyer, of course, what he and the lawyer and we all know, that as sinners, we have not kept and never will keep the law perfectly. And that it's very clear that that lawyer, that legal expert, knew that, because the lawyer's own conscience apparently is feeling guilty. And it says in our text, needing to justify himself, because he sees that he hasn't kept the law fully, he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And now we see Jesus about ready to raise up a stone, a neighbor for the lawyer, by telling a story. For Jews, the Samaritan Samaria was invisible. It didn't really even exist. It was just stones. Samaritans were ceremonially unclean. They were social outcasts, half-breeds left over from that time in 722 B.C., when the Assyrians came down, conquered the land, dragged them over into captivity, and there was a mixture, an inbreeding of marriage, and that's what the Samaritans were today. They were not pure-blood Jews, and so they were despised. No Jew would ever consider Gentile or Samaritan neighbor. While Mr. Rogers still seems to be singing, "Won't You Be My Neighbor," the lawyer, his question is, "Who is my neighbor?" And we see in this parable, Jesus is about ready to change the question to, whose neighbor am I? Who should I be a neighbor to? It's a little more active way of thinking about being a neighbor. We know the story so well, don't we? We forget we are often the Levite or the priest instead of the Good Samaritan. We like to identify with the Good Samaritan, but we are the Levite and the priest because we do not keep the law any better than that man did, and you and I know it. And we have all sorts of reasons, and perhaps some of them are valid, why we shouldn't stop for that needy neighbor. Oh, it's scary, I'm afraid. The man's too far gone. It's dangerous there if I stop my car. What could I do? Hey, I have to get to religion class, to a staff meeting. There's no time. We heard a week or so ago when about 13 people watched while a young woman who had been under the influence was raped. One man, according to the cameras, peeked out about three times. Did anybody stop? Well, this is another reason in American culture why we don't stop. We're what? Entertained by our sexual titillation that moves through culture? Another reason why people don't stop along the way. The pariah, of course, unlike priest and Levite, demonstrated the law's teaching, the Samaritan, the law of love, that a neighbor is anyone in need of my love and help. Abraham's children did not live in Samaria, according to the Jews, but here was one, a Samaritan. Which of the three was a neighbor, Jesus asked. And the lawyer will not even say Samaritan, even though Jesus has mentioned his name. He says, the one who showed mercy. That's kind of like us too, isn't it? Right answer, 4.0, but flunked the test, just like all of us do when it comes to keeping the law. Jesus did not commend us, but he sends us back to go and do likewise. And that is the law that we will always live with, the law of love. And it's the law that we will continually realize we fall short of. This is one of the best stories in Scripture. But even Christians make the mistake of thinking the story is merely a self-contained story just about, what, doing a good deed today. And if I do that, then I've fulfilled the story. In fact, in the larger scope of Scripture, it is really a larger story. It's about Jesus Christ, as today's liturgical song and theme remind us. While the law teaches what we must do, and we continually are reminded how we have fallen short, and our consciences remind us of that as well, we've all fallen short of loving our neighbor the way we ought to, being the way the law teaches us that we all ought to be. It enjoins upon us love, but it also reminds us that we need love retold through another story, and that's the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As sinners who are all wounded by the sin, the robbery that took place in the garden, you might say, by our own sins committed in thought, word, and deed, we realize who we are, that we need Jesus Christ and his redemption. Above all, we need a good Samaritan, above all. We can never justify ourselves. We need help. Jesus came and he walked the same road that we are walking. He stopped and he still stops for us along the way, healing our wounds, calming our troubled consciences, telling each of you your sins are forgiven. I went to the cross for you. By his righteous life and death, God has justified us, declared us holy, righteous. A perfect justification that we could not earn ourselves. We cannot justify ourselves. It took God doing it upon the cross. And that's at the heart of the gospel. And by placing our faith, our simple faith, in the Samaritan Son, Jesus Christ, we possess the eternal life the lawyer, by looking to the law, could never obtain. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have made us heirs of your eternal and great promises. Increase in us daily the gifts of faith, hope, and love, that we may love all that you command through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.